I want us to pray, and I want you to join me in a prayer. And it's a prayer of sacrifice, and it's a prayer of release, and it's a prayer that we got to get in and go, okay? I got to challenge you a little bit at 8 o'clock service, all right? There's no way that we're going to reach. Did I tell y'all there's 85,000 people in this county that are disconnected? Have I let y'all know that yet? Okay. There's no way we're going to reach those people unless you invite some of them to the 8 o'clock service. Now, I'm proud of the 8 o'clock service. You know how I know? I've heard rumor that y'all consider yourselves mature in Christ. Let me help you. Nobody is mature in Christ that has not reproduced. Nobody is mature in Christ that has not brought somebody else to understand the gospel. See, you got to be careful. How many of y'all realize the devil is a con artist? Amen. How many of y'all realize the devil's a con artist? Any of y'all ever met the devil? Any of y'all sitting by the devil? No, don't answer that question. It's down there. How many of y'all have met the devil? See, here's what the devil will tell you. The devil has told a lot of you because you grew up in Methodist churches or Baptist churches. And he's told you if you have knowledge of the Bible, you've become mature. He's telling a whole generation right now. I'm watching it unfold. Eric, this is round two for me. I went through this in the early 80s, and now it's back again. Worship of the Bible is not worship of Jesus. You better write that one down. Now, do I believe the Bible is the true Word of God? Absolutely. I believe every page of it. That's what gets me in trouble. I don't even adjust the pages that I don't understand. I just believe them. I still have a lot of mystery in my faith. I don't know how an axe head floats on top of the water, but guess what, Jack? I know that it did. Why? God said it did. Now, the reason I can deal with mystery is this. I still don't understand. I can't logically and cognitively, Doc, understand how Jesus could love a sinner like me. Y'all ever struggle with that? Sometimes I'm just blown away that Jesus would love me. Any of y'all ever like that? Just how does Jesus love me? My second, it's Valentine's Day. My second response said, sometimes I don't understand how Elizabeth can love me. Now, y'all are probably going, yeah, we don't either. But any of y'all ever have that moment? I mean, you look at your spouse and you go, how did they put up with me? How many times y'all have ever said something you really didn't mean, but you said it anyway? Lisa, I know Tim's done that to you. I've seen it. No, I mean, we say stuff, don't we? And sometimes in our love is a conflictual moment. But God loves us. Do y'all understand that? And listen, this isn't trite. This isn't trivial. This isn't something that's on the side. Do anybody remember the first thing that, now the Rabbi Britt back here, he'll know this. Rabbi, the first thing that Jesus, our Lord and Savior, asked the disciple Peter, after he had messed up and denied him three times, what was his question to Peter? Do you believe the Bible to be true? Is that what he asked him? No. Did he ask him what kind of doctrinal stance he was submitted to? No. All right, Dee, now that you're teaching Bible school and Bible study and have become a celebrity in the daily newspaper, what's the answer?
Do you love me more than these?
Do you love me more than these? Isn't that our haunting question of growth in the Lord? Do you love me more than these? Isn't it a constant tension between these and Him? Well, we have a great example in the book of Galatians of a man who was a sinner, who came to believe that Jesus Christ was the Savior, a man who gave his life to following Jesus Christ, believed the cross was the source of redemption, meaning this, our lives have been retooled, remade, and we're now fit for heaven. Anybody in here glad to know you are fit for heaven? No, I mean, you ought to rejoice over that. We've been made fit to heaven. So, you know, I'm going to push you. You know, well, Pastor, what do you expect? I expect this room to be full. In fact, for some of you real early bird people, I expect that somebody else will be preaching this service, but we need to have a 7 o'clock service. And I think Jeff Reynolds ought to preach that one. How many of y'all feel that right there? Jeff Reynolds ought to preach that one right there. Huh? No, hold on. I want you to begin to think like that. I want you to begin to think like that because I'm going to give you some good news. We're not going to build another worship center. We don't need to. That's a waste of money. Okay? But what we need to do is we need to fill this one up as many times as we can fill this one up. Now, the good news is God's in a great motion here at Hillview. We got young guys coming in. God's developing them. They're preaching well. They're preaching under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. They're gaining knowledge of the Word of God. And guess what? Mark and I have sat down and figured it. And we can probably have about 10 to 15 services here, 1,000 apiece. That reaches 10 to 15,000 people. I want you to begin to believe like that. Okay, so we're going to here's where we are. That's why we're going through the book of Galatians. I think some of us have gotten comfortable here. What do you think? David Jones, you were here before you had gray hair. What do you think? Remember back in those wild and woolly days when we believed that God would reach the whole county? And then God reached, Michael, some of the county, and we went, hey, this is pretty good. And man, worship. How many of y'all remember at Hillview when we had 10 in the choir and one of them could sing? How many of y'all remember that choir? See, I'm not naming any names, but we did. We had 10 in the choir and one could hold a tune. We had one that could have tempo and one could have a tune. Now, when those two got together, they could pull it off. In between there, we were all over the railroad tracks. And now we come to Hillview and we hear music that just blows my mind every Sunday. I mean, I sit there and I'm like, man, how do people sing like that? Anywhere I go in Hillview, people can sing. God's done a lot of great things, but He's not finished. And so I want to open up the book of Galatians and I want to present to you the attitude of grace and peace. The attitude of grace and peace. And I pray that this attitude will become a way of life for us. I want you to understand that what you do in the Spirit doesn't come from you. So look at your neighbor over there, your partner in worship, and tell them, I got to let God out this week. Come on. Come on, I got to let God out this week. Now, guess who's going to get in the way? No, it's not Satan. It's you. See, we all want to blame Satan. Satan gets a lot of blame for things he doesn't do. Most of the time, it's not the devil. Most of the time, the devil doesn't have to bother you because you do a well enough job of screwing it up by yourself. Amen. And the devil's limited and he doesn't have a lot of time to mess with everybody. So here's what he knows. If he can get you thinking about you, then he can leave you alone. Because Satan's pretty smart. He knows that you will mess it up. How many of y'all found you will mess it up? How many of y'all have had a better life when you said, you know what? I'm going to mess it up, but God's going to get it on. Paul was intelligent. I want to help you with the Apostle Paul, who was Saul, who has this great conversion, who becomes Paul. I'm so tired of the road to Damascus, when he was on the road of Damascus. You know, we take this story and we just take it totally out of biblical context. I remember on the flannel board, when I grew up, we had a flannel board. How many of y'all had a flannel board? How y'all, you went to church and you had a flannel board. I love flannel boards. It was our only image teaching of that era of time. And on the flannel board, they'd have a picture of the Apostle Paul. For some reason, in my church, all Jews were white. Even Jesus had blonde hair and blue eyes. I don't know how you do that, being born in the Middle East. But anyway, we had these white people up on the flannel board, which was the first thing that was wrong. These are Jews. Jesus was a Jew. Paul was a what? Jew. And Paul's on the road to Damascus and he meets Jesus and he has a great awakening of salvation. Now, Saul, before that, was a scholar. Paul was not unaware of what God was going to do. When he met Jesus, what happened was, is he fulfilled what Paul suspected. Jesus became that fulfillment of prophecy that Paul was aware of. Why was he aware of that, Fainter? He was the scholar. And we make Paul like he was riding his camel on the road to Damascus, fell off his camel, the light hit him and lightning bolts hit him, and he picked up a King James Bible and started preaching. Well, that would have been hard to do since there wasn't a King James Bible in existence. Since there hadn't been a printing press, there were no King James Bibles. And since King James hadn't been born yet, it would have been hard for King James to be around. You know what Paul submitted himself to? Jesus. I'm really going to encourage you. We got to be submitted to who?
Jesus.
We follow who?
Jesus.
Who saved our souls?
Jesus.
Who's the entrance into heaven?
Jesus.
Come on, y'all get it. Who does our praise go on to?
Jesus.
Who do we hand our money to?
Jesus.
Who do we hand our ministries to?
Jesus.
Y'all got it. Oh. Who do we invite people to follow?
Jesus.
Who?
Jesus.
Who?
Jesus.
What does the Bible say about that name? It's no other. Every. How many of y'all realize even those who are atheists, their knee will bow to Jesus? Even those who have not believed will bow in submission to Jesus at an appointed time in history. Now, I want to give you some things you cannot compromise on. One, the cross is the only way to heaven. How many of y'all understand that? That's it, man. There's no other way. Jesus died for our sins. No president died for our sins. No teacher died for our sins. And nobody in this room would die for your sins. Merle, would you die for anybody's sins? Huh? No, I'll tell you right now, Merle, I wouldn't die for you. I'd say, Lord, take him. Take him, Lord. I'd back out. I'd love him, but I don't know if I'd die for him. Larry, would you die for Kathy's sins? I have already gotten Larry in deep trouble on a romantic day. Now, she understands that. You can love her, but you can't save her.
Amen.
Now, the best we can do in humanity is love each other. And I mean, I don't want to bust on our love, but our love's pretty weak, isn't it? How many of y'all only love people you like? Come on, be honest. How many of y'all love? You kind of love people. And you like them, why?
Because they think like you do.
They think like you do. And so you really believe that if the world would think like you do, the world would be a better place. Any of y'all hold that thought? And so now what happens is we encounter the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. We become a part of the resurrection of the dead. That's really what goes on. We come to life. And now we got to start thinking like Jesus. Paul had this just uncanny ability to be submitted to Christ. He knew who made him new. He knew N-E-W. He knew who made him new N-E-W. He was aware that without Jesus, this doesn't work. So I want to remind you, be aware, without Jesus, there is no faith. Now let's go to Galatians. Paul, an apostle. Now you got to know who's writing to you. You got to know who's writing to you. Paul, an apostle. I want you all to get attitude this week, okay? Now I'm going to do something. I have been pushed last week to enter this world of technology communication. I'm not in that world. Y'all probably aware of that. I need to get in that world because what's one of my jobs? Communicate. And I just hate it. Sometimes I hate it. Last week, Leonard busted on me for 48 hours. Then this week, I was in another setting. And the first thing, this lady, she's a communications person, and she goes, Pastor Ayers, can I follow what God's doing in your church on Twitter? I said, well, you could. There's some pastors that do that. Now, she said, can I follow from the senior pastor? I said, well, we don't have a senior pastor because none of us are getting old. But yet, no, you could not from the lead pastor. So here's what I want to do. This is the plan after some prayer and some approach and Elizabeth helping me a whole lot. And then Elizabeth, I mean, it's Valentine's weekend. Here's Elizabeth. Spirit decides to crawl up in her. We're laying there, and she should have been thinking about other things, not ministry. But she wasn't. She looks over at me. She goes, you know, you really do need to communicate in that way.
I said, what if I don't want to communicate in that way?
And she said, well, I thought you were committed to reaching 85,000 unchurched people. I pulled three roses out of that vase right there. She went from 12 to 9. She was fixing to have just a six pack if she kept on. So here's what I'm going to do to the best of my feeble ability. And so if you all will struggle with me, and I mean struggle with me and help me. I think one of the things that would be neat for us to interact on as a preacher in a congregation is we're going to take these sermons. We have five services in English, six services if you can speak Russian. And in the five services, we all preach the same text with the same truths, but God brings it out of how we're all designed, which I think is pretty cool how we do preaching here. On Monday, I'm going to get one of those accounts, right? Elizabeth's going to get that account. And we're going to drop how to apply the sermon on Monday. Like Paul an apostle. How many of y'all are going to step into Monday understanding that your relationship with Jesus calls you to represent him in your daily life? So we're going to deal with that this week. How well do we really represent Jesus? Well, I'm not Hillview Heights Church because guess what? How many of y'all really believe this? You can come to Hillview Heights Church and go to hell. Yeah, so see, I don't want to invite people to church. I want to invite people to a living salvation relationship with Jesus. That makes sense? I mean, hey, I'm not hiding it. I want you to get saved. And you know what frustrates me? I can't make you get saved. Oh, it frustrates me. If I could just smack some of y'all on the head and you get saved, I'd smack you on the head. You'd be mad at me for a couple of days, but you'd end up going to heaven. You know what I'm talking about, Adam? So Adam, your job as you make millions of dollars is to follow who?
Jesus.
Hey, Jesus makes some people rich. It's okay to be rich. Don't get all... I
mean, are rich people following Jesus?
Some of them. Blessed are the poor doesn't mean that Jesus automatically likes you. Being poor doesn't mean you're faithful. It just means you're poor. Faithful means I have given my life to who? Paul an apostle, not Paul a man, not Paul a scholar, not Paul a Jew, Paul an apostle. What did it mean to be apostle? He had an actual witness of Jesus. On the road to Damascus, what actually happened is Jesus literally revealed himself to Paul. He said he's the last of that type of apostle. He has had a personal witness that Jesus Christ is Lord. Now, for you and I, okay... I mean, I'd be careful about people running around calling themselves apostles. I really don't see a lot of evidence in our Bible where God wants us to run around and call ourselves apostles. Okay? I see tons, though, of biblical evidence that he wants us to be followers. Amen. I get tons of evidence, so let's be followers. Amen? We'll let Paul be the apostle, and we're going to be a follower of who?
Jesus.
Come on, talk to me today. A follower of who?
Jesus.
Who?
Jesus.
So tomorrow... Tomorrow, a lot of us will be making decisions. True? With all compassion, kindness, and truth to my brother. How many of y'all have prayed for Tim Murray? Y'all better be three people. Y'all need to pick it up. Tim, no wonder. Watch, Tim's got to make a call. I don't know what's happened. Dale, you leave. I mean, in the winters, it used to be 85 degrees when you were superintendent. Murley gets a post, and we've had the coldest winter in 30 years. Now, I'm not going to make any deductions from that. But in all seriousness, you know what? I pray for Tim. You know why I pray for Tim? No matter what you do, idiots are involved. Jesus had the same thing. Jesus got killed for who he was.
That's true.
Can you imagine Jesus living in the age of email? How many people, I mean, we'd have burned up servers over people criticizing Jesus and giving you, because see, email allows cowards to be brave. I've received a lot more emails in my offices than I ever have personal encounters. Because you brave girl or brave boy when you're on the email using your capital letters. Well, come in up over my desk and use your capital letters. I might knock you down a case or two. See, that's the difference, isn't it? See, we kind of want to do church. We want to do Jesus email. We want to talk to God from a distance. Paul, an apostle. Paul is saying, I have been up close and personal with Jesus. And from this up close and personal experience, I have been commissioned, sent, not from man or by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father. We need to get that kind of attitude. I'm talking Minute Mark, Monday morning. How many of y'all go to Minute Mark on Monday morning? Okay, that's for those of us that are cheap. Starbucks Monday morning, for those of you who got a little more. If y'all can pay $4 for a cup of coffee, that building ought to be paid for. Amen. 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 I remember when you used to get coffee free, if you'd buy your eggs and your bacon down there at Murray's, they'd throw in a cup of coffee free. Now, it wasn't Starbucks. It's Maxwell House, Folgers. Good to the last what? You didn't even know coffee was good back then. It was just black and hot. And you drank it at breakfast. You didn't know why you drank it. You just drank it. Remember? Paul, an apostle, sent not from what? You know, here's what Paul's saying. My message is not being created from down here, Jack, but it's been sent from heaven into me as a gift to you. Wow. So let's change this for a minute. Really, in our daily lives, you know what you all are? You are walkabout heaven. Mark, you're a walkabout heaven. Even though your last name is Hell, you are walkabout heaven. Did you realize that? Michael, when you're at Dillard's, what's really working at Dillard's? Push this concept. Heaven. Well, if Jesus is there, who's there? The attitude of heaven ought to be in us. Think about that. The attitude of heaven is in us. And some of y'all are going, well, then why is my week so bad? Because I think sometimes we forget. Paul, an apostle. Charlene, a follower. Gary, a follower. Tim, a follower. Rick, a follower. Sally, a follower. Bobby, a follower of Jesus Christ. Has a message in her, not created by humankind, but sent from who?
Jesus.
How many of y'all got a message in you sent from Jesus? Then what are you supposed to do? Go and y'all give me some ideas. We're going to have interactive sermon here. Y'all ain't going to stare at me. You got 135 churches. You can stare at the preacher here. This is the only one you get to talk back. And I went to church with some of y'all and you passed notes and wanted to talk in church. And now I give you opportunity to do that. And you sit there in silent hymn meditation. Come on, I want to see this thing. Chuck, we got to live it out, brother. Paul, an apostle. Chuck, a follower. A father. A grandfather. Not great-grandfather yet, is it? Oh, Jesus Christ. Chuck, you blessed my heart the other night in men's ministry. And Chuck ain't no sissy, man. He'll whip you. He's a soldier. He had tears flowing down his eye as he talked about his grandchild getting saved. I long for the Hillview Heights church I used to attend. That when people got saved, tears filled their eyes. That when people got baptized, it sounded like the New Orleans Saints picking off a Peyton Manning pass. And running into the end zone, laying the ball there. A miracle had occurred. The great Peyton had thrown a pick. Many Colts fans thought this was impossible because their life went, I, a follower of Peyton. There's only one guy that doesn't throw an interception, and he saved your soul, Jesus. The rest of us are fallible. God is not fallible. He has a message in us that needs to be released, who raised Him from the dead. Jesus has been raised from the what? Dead. So what does Paul tell us right off the bat? I have a message in me. It's not created by man. It's not man's idea. It's been sent by God to me. The message is Jesus Christ, and he's risen from the what?
Dead.
There's some things we can never go wrong with. There's a center that we got to continue to preach. And here's one of the things I see in churches. We chase everything but the real thing. Chase everything but the real thing. I spent a lifetime of ministry watching my fellow colleagues and brothers and sisters in Christ. They fuss and fight about things that don't matter. How many of y'all have seen people fuss and fight about things that don't matter? I mean, I love what God's doing here, but you know what? We got to make sure the main thing matters. And I've lived long enough now. It's kind of cool to live long enough to really know some things. How many of y'all realize you got to live long enough sometimes to know a few things? Here's what I know. If we keep living out the death, the burial, the resurrection, and the return of Christ, everything will be all right. Now, there's a lot of stuff that goes on around that, but that's the main thing. And here's what I know. You lose the main thing and everything else comes unraveled. Jesus. I'm going to follow who? Because here's what we're going to watch unfold in the book of Galatians. People will claim to follow Jesus, and they will start adding something to it other than Jesus. Aren't you glad we don't do that? Yeah. How many of y'all have ever said, I've heard this at Hillview Heights Church. I have heard this at the church we're a part of. Well, it's great to be saved, but now there's more. I've heard that in this church. What's this? Following Jesus is not dream catching. I know a lot of Christians, they go to dream-catching conferences. They're always waiting for the next spout of glory to fall. Fainter, you know why I have a problem with that? Take a guess. It's unbiblical. Give me one scriptural text where Paul chased glory. There isn't any. In fact, guess what Paul did? He revealed it. See, if we quit chasing glory, then guess what God can do? He can reveal His glory, what? In us. In a lot of these meetings, what's going on? God's revealing His self, His glory, His purpose, His power, His truth. Paul knew this. I am a representative that has been changed by Jesus. How many of y'all have been changed by Jesus? Paul, an apostle, you and I, a follower of Jesus Christ, what are we to be about? We're to be about carrying this message that is alive.
Amen.
Not created by man, but sent from God, by God, for God, through God, and in God. He's risen from the dead. How many of y'all been risen from the dead?
Yes,
only half of you? No, how many of y'all been risen? Raise your hand if you're risen from the dead. You better be risen from the dead. You're believing in Jesus Christ. You're following Jesus Christ. What's going to happen to you? Come on, really, what's going to happen to you? See, when this gets in you, you start living. What's going to happen to you? You're going to live forever, Sue. Jack won't have to get a new hip in heaven. God help us, he'll be running strong again. In who, Jack? Through Jesus. Jerry, in who? I don't know about you, Joe, I preach so people can go to heaven. What do you think? Am I a bad guy or what? I want you to end up, how many of y'all want to end up in heaven? Now, you got to get a heart for this. Now, if you want people to end up in heaven, you ought to really desire. You ought to really desire that your friends not go to hell. Now, here's what some of us want to do. Well, Pastor Anders, I just don't believe that a loving God would create a hell. Well, he did. Well, I don't believe that. Well, guess what? A lot of y'all are going to be sitting in hell, and that's when you're going to dawn on that he created a hell. Because you don't get to determine who God is. Do you see this in Paul? We don't get to tell God who he is. It's where we got this thing all backwards. We like to tell God what we think and what we feel and who he is and how he functions. Here's the way it works. God sent his message. God sent his son. God created the cross. God has risen him from the dead. And we follow him. And the more we follow him, the more we understand heaven. It's the very guy that writes this letter that one day writes these words. He said he's come to the conclusion through his life journey, being an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, that if he dies, it's gain, and if he stays, Christ be lived out. I pray that we all get to that point. That we would all one day get to the point. I'm glad to be here today, and I'm going to celebrate Jesus, but if today is my last breath, then heaven be gained. You know what you call that? A full and abundant life. Whether I stay or whether I go, may Christ be glorified. That's a life in Christ. And you and I are a part of that life. And he goes on to tell us this. And all the brothers with me. This message isn't just for me. It's for all the brothers with me. And so I want you to do something. I want you to look at your worship partner there and say, you're going with me. Come on, you're going with me. Marcia, you're going with me. Kathy, you're going with me. Larry, what?
I'm going with you.
How many, are we going together? We going together? How many of y'all going together? How many of y'all going to be glad that one day we're going to meet in heaven and we're going to say, hey, y'all remember year, what is it, 2010? Y'all remember 2010, February 2010? Remember it snowed? Merle became superintendent and it snowed every day from that time. Y'all remember that back in 2010? Huh? There's a God. And y'all remember that? Y'all remember that? And go, man, how small a time that was compared to the eternal glory that we relish in every day. How many of y'all realize there's perfect attendance in heaven?
Amen.
How many of y'all realize nobody misses worship in heaven?
No, we'll be doing it all the time.
Well, yeah. So if you don't like this thing now, you're really going to be in trouble when we sing for 1,000 years. And guess what we're going to do? We're going to stand the whole time. What do you think about that? Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, with a message burning in his heart, sent not by man, but by Jesus Christ and the God the Father who raised him from the dead and all the brothers with me. Paul said, I'm telling you, God's doing something great to the churches of Galatia. Now, what does this tell us? This is more than one place. Churches! So this letter is circulating to many Christians. Make sense? How many of y'all realize we in this thing together? Living hope is our what? See, they're calling right now as soon as I mention their name. They're our partners. What about Broadway Methodist Church? What about a Catholic Church? Absolutely. Those who believe in who? Now y'all getting, what about the Methodist Church? What about a Pentecostal Church? Yeah, those are our excited brothers and sisters. Don't shun them. Now, do we all believe the same details?
No.
No, but we got to get to the heartbeat of the cross and resurrection. Bring your brothers and sisters to the heartbeat of the cross and resurrection. Quit separating over expressions. I mean, look around. Does everybody wear the same clothes?
Of course not.
Would it be a boring world if everybody wore the same clothes? I think it would. I'm glad to know people wear all kinds of different clothes, aren't you? Well, guess what? God allows us to express His message in the way that He's created us. But we better express the message. He's going to use Paul as Paul has been created to be used. And He said we're going to write these letters to the churches because they were off base. Now, I want you to get this. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to encourage us to get an attitude of grace and peace to you. Grace and peace to who? You. How many of y'all got some yous that you will encounter this week? Those aren't sheep either. People. You. Eleanor, when you get to go back to school, you sitting in front of 35 what? Yous. They'll look at their teacher and say, man, that's a smart woman, but there's something else in her. Grace and peace what? To you. Scott, you're out there wiring the whole world, you know, hooking up electricity every which way. High voltage. But in your high voltage, what? Grace and peace to you. That'll be our attitude. We're the people of grace and peace. How many of y'all realize that we got to express this attitude? You know, one of the most damaging things to the Christian witness are followers who are a jerk. In fact, some of the greatest things some of y'all could do is not tell people you're Christians. You would help our church. Because when you walk by and you don't talk to people, when you walk by and demand your own way, when you blow up in a meeting and really, really, really don't conduct yourself with grace and peace, people begin to wonder about the message. Now, grace and peace doesn't mean you let people run over you. Grace and peace means you stand strong in the cross and the resurrection. And grace and peace to you. Because as we read this letter, y'all are going to go, where's the grace and where's the peace? It's in Jesus Christ. Amen. And when you leave Jesus Christ, there'll be no grace and there'll be no peace. Amen? Grace and peace to
you.
And where's it come from? From God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself up for our sins to rescue us from this present evil age. According to the will of God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. What? Amen. Grace and peace to you. Here's the greatest message I know. Our sin can be forgiven. Who forgives us of our sins according to the Word of God? Jesus. That's exactly right, brother. Steve, that's exactly right. Jesus. And He alone. Where'd He come from? From God. Who's sinning? God. Who secures Him? Okay, y'all are getting this. Good. So where does grace come from? Where does peace come from? And I want to offer you that invitation today. Absolutely. It's the peace that passes understanding. I'm not going to go there. I'll preach for another 30 minutes. That's deep. How many of y'all today have a friend that needs grace and peace in their life? How many of y'all got some friends, man, and they're just going crazy? How many of y'all need some grace and peace in your life? How many of y'all got grace and peace and you're not accessing it? Watch this. Here, I'll give you an example of this. The computer that I own, it's a low-mileage computer. But the computer that I own can do a lot more than I can make it do. Because like when Clayson gets on it, it looks like a whole different machine. When I'm on it, it can do email. And it can search houseboat sites. Gary, it's about all it can. College football news. When Clacy's on it, it can calculate, it can create, it can probably, who knows? But I notice it goes a lot faster when she's on it than when I'm on it. But it's the same what? Computer. So you and I must develop in grace and peace. And I want to give you this wonderful, wonderful message today. Any person in this room can be connected to Jesus Christ. What do you think? It is God's desire, according to 1 Peter chapter 3, that all would be rescued, that none would perish, that all might be saved. That's God's desire. Are some people going to go to hell? Absolutely, because here's what they do. They constantly refuse the gospel. I'm going to tell you this right now. At Hillview Heights, if you come to Hillview Heights Church and you go to hell, that's your fault. That's your fault. You've heard the gospel clear. Jesus is the only way to heaven. How many of y'all believe that? Well, today, guess what? I want to give you an invitation. Some of you today need to square up with Jesus. And you need to look Jesus and say, you know what? I want to be a follower. I want you to forgive me, Jesus. You just heard Tony and Dawn confess that in baptism. Today, we got some folks that need to confess that in the room. Why? Nobody. This ought to be our mission. Nobody goes to hell from Hillview. Okay, that's one part of the mission. And then the second part of the mission is this, and that we live our lives in such a way that we express heaven on earth. Isn't that really the rhythm of Paul? I don't want anybody to go to hell because the gospel of grace has been established. And Merle, I want people to see heaven in this earthly realm by what God's called us to do. Isn't that cool, Scott? Did you realize you can be a salesman and broadcast heaven? Absolutely. Bart, being a businessman and being a grace and peace to you businessman is being fair and honest. If you're fair and honest in business today, you'll be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Because watch this. You want to blow the world away? Be a politician with integrity. When's the last time you all seen a politician that kept their word? What would that do in the world if we had somebody that kept their word? In fact, we even expect them. Here's how far we've degraded ourselves. We expect leadership to be dishonest. We expect it. Because we've lost touch with grace and peace, with purpose, with life. Because here's what'll kill you. You're talking about cutting against the grain here, Steve. So I'm fixing to cut against everything we've been taught. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about Jesus. And that's against everything we've learned. We think this world's about what? Us. And really, this world is about us connecting to Jesus. So if you would, I want you to stand with me, and I want you to encounter the greatest message in heaven and on earth. The greatest message ever told is this message right here. This invitation right here is the greatest message ever given. Grace and peace to you. That's the first part of this message. Grace and peace to you. Now check this out today. Is everybody ready? I want you all to start praying. What could happen today? What could happen? Somebody in this room could come to know Jesus. How many of y'all realize that's the greatest thing could happen in a life? If there's any person, male or female, young or old, who's never allowed Jesus Christ to come into their heart, and you feel the Spirit right now, I mean, it's moving you to this altar. You know you need to be saved. This prayer will change you forever. Tell Him, Lord Jesus, I believe You are grace and peace, and I want to follow You. And so, Lord Jesus, come into my life and forgive me, Dr. Ward, of my what? Sin. Forgive me, God, of my sins. As I say that, I want to check those of us that follow. We ought to wrestle every time we hear that message. Dear God, how many of y'all give praise that your sins are forgiven and grace is in your life? You ought to thank Him every day. If you really understood what God had done, you know what? We would rush this altar and we would be on this carpet thanking God for the salvation that He's provided. You want to see a great awakening? Well, we need to come back that God saved our wretched souls. We've forgotten that. In fact, we walk around like this, Shane. We're like, well, I'm a good American. I don't cuss, drink, chew, or do. God should have saved me. You're lost as an Easter egg if you think like that. You have lost your everlasting mind. If you think you get credit for some kind of Kentucky code of conduct. We worship a holy God. A perfect God. A God without spot. A God without wrinkle. A God without a speck of dirt in Him. A glorious God. The beginning and the end. And that God has loved us so much that God is willing to connect us to His reality. So why don't you tell Him, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. I believe You died on the cross. I believe You've risen from the grave. And I believe You're coming again. And when that trumpet blows, how many of y'all believe Jesus is coming again? I believe He's coming again. I don't know when, but I'm going to tell you this much. Let me tell you what I know. God is closer than He was last week. How many of y'all God's going to catch you by surprise? How many of y'all going to be mad if He comes back right now? How many of y'all going to be saved if He comes back right now? I don't know about you. When I hear the trumpet blow, I'm going to be excited. But I might be a little bit disappointed if I look over to the side and I realize I did not share with my friend grace and peace. So I want to open this altar. If you have not been baptized, I am going to lovingly and gloriously invite you to obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ in baptism. Please do not come to me and tell me baptism is not important because I do not believe that. I do not buy that. I believe the Bible and Jesus told you to get baptized. Jesus Himself submitted to baptism. So your refusing to be baptized is this. You are actually telling God you're better than He is. If you can live with that on the day of judgment, go ahead, big boy. I'm suggesting to you as your pastor, I don't think that'll work out real well. Be obedient unto God. If you're saved, follow Him in baptism. And then after you're baptized, follow Him out of the baptistry into His ministry. Amen? And as you live out His ministry, then you'll join Him in His mission. And before too long, guess what? You'll be seeing some real shiny saxophones and some trumpets like you've never heard. And you'll be listening to the angels declare the glory of the One who created you. That's the world we live in. Tony and Dawn, thank you again, once again, for being obedient in your life to Jesus Christ. Y'all are wonderful people. Welcome to the Fellowship of Hillview Heights Church. And we're glad you're a part of us. And God's going to do great things out of you. And guess what? It'll be in the twinkle of an eye. You'll see some friends standing in that baptistry with you. And you get as many of them as you can before we get out of here, all right? That's our mission. It's that simple. So in the name of Jesus, come and pray for those that are lost and undone. Come and receive Jesus. Come and be baptized. Come and be healed. Do everything but stand there and stare. Come and move and let's let God have it. Lord, we pray for your altar, your movement today, your salvation today, your truth today, your purposes today, your power. Jamie, this beautiful woman right here wants to be baptized right here.